If you do not accept who he is, it is your fault, not his. And your eternal doom will be your fault and not his. And that has to be clearly stated. You have nothing to do with your first birth, except show up, and even that wasn't on your end. It's the second birth. You have everything to do with that. It's an invitation. You either receive it or you don't, but it's your choice.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Please join us as we study the Gospel of Luke, verse by verse. God has literally done everything possible to reconcile himself to man, including sending his one and only son to die in our place. Pastor Rick implores us today to accept the truth of the gospel. Those that reject Jesus do so out of their own stubbornness. Unfortunately, those that say no to Jesus will pay for their rejection with their own soul. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Now, here's Pastor Rick in the Gospel of Luke chapter 7, verse 38 with today's study.
The fact that it was fragrant oil packaged in an alabaster flask means that it was expensive. It was not common oil. And that she would pour it on his feet when regular oil would have done the job. Brand X would have done it. And that alone began to chip away at Simon's heart. To anoint his feet was more than to honor him by anointing his head. You see, if you have company come over and you anoint their head with oil, they go, oh, this is great, this is nice. But to say, I'm going to do your feet too, that is going further than what you need, where you need to go. Laban didn't go there. Which proves to us the point that is being made that this woman, she was indeed doting over the Lord with fragrant oil, more valuable and more worthy than any offering of mere oil and the ordinary courtesies that Simon should have extended, but he did not. Verse 47, therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she has loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Therefore I say to you, again, once again we come to this authority above all the rest, this authority that is above, thus says the Lord, or it is written, this is the authority of I'm telling you. And there is no higher than me. And on the strength of all of this, he continues. He says, therefore I say to you, her sins, and there are a lot of them, they are forgiven. That's where I come in the story, is it not? That's where you come in the story. Have you ever been struggling with a particular sin that you can't get the victory of? Of course you have. But I don't know if you have you ever been angry at God because you can't get the victory. I have. There have been times I've been frustrated. Can't you just make this legal? Can't getting angry at other drivers be a commandment instead of a prohibition? These are evidences of your faith. Satan's kids, they're not going to get upset that they can't obey the Lord. In fact, they factor him out so they can continue to do so without any stick from the conscience. You see, when Jesus said to Paul, isn't it hard for you to kick against the goads? He's saying, Saul of Tarsus, the Holy Spirit has been pricking your conscience with a pin, and you can't do anything about it because you know it's right. You just don't know what to do about it. And so here I am to help you with that. And so her sins, which are many, I have to pause there because there are Christians perhaps sitting here right now or listening. Your sins are many, and you may think God's given up on you, doesn't care anymore. I said, you know what? How many times do I have to forgive you for the same stupid thing? He doesn't say that. He never says that. If you love him, you know who he is. You know who everybody else is not. You're His. Recurrent grace. Grace is not like a bottle of soda where you open it and if you don't guzzle it down, the fizzy goes away. Grace is always there. It is always at work. He says they are forgiven. Now, there's a correlation between forgiveness and love, and Jesus is establishing it right here. The fact that she is forgiven is the reason why you're seeing all this love come out. That's the cause, her much love for the Lord. It's not a general love. It's specific to what He has done for her. She's not just a loving person. She's not just one of those tender souls that you meet in life. She's had touch with him, contact with him. Her love was the result, not the cause, of His forgiveness on her. And our sins are not forgiven because we love Christ. That's not enough. Love has to go deeper. It's because we recognize His love for us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. For we love Him because He first loved us. What would happen if He didn't love you? What would happen if you never felt He cared? You know how many people run from God because they feel that He's not going to forgive them? Very dangerous thing to do. Because that's not enough. It's not enough to say, I'm too dirty, I can't be forgiven. Well, then you won't be if you leave it at that. You must come. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Well, there it is. If you think He won't forgive you, then how can you love Him? But once you understand, He says, I can take this. I'm big enough. I am strong enough. I say to you, your sins are forgiven, and I make it so. And so forgiveness is really, in this sense, a very little thing to God in this sense. It cost Him His Son's life. I'm not trivializing the cost of sin. I'm just saying that love says it's nothing. I've dealt with it. I've put it away. Why? Because it's worth it. It's who I am. I'm looking for those whom I can love. And those whom I can love for eternity are those who are willing to love me now. And so Proverbs 10, verse 12, hatred stirs up strife. Was that not what Simon had? He hated this woman. And he began to start thinking about hating on Christ. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins, Proverbs 10, 12. But love. And so those who lack a sense of how damning even one sin is have the heart and the religion of Simon. If you don't see how damning one sin is, you have Simon's heart. And we search the story for nothing to find any token of love coming from Simon. It's clear, lest that God is saying something to all of us with this. He says, you understand what this is all about? Forgiveness is connected to love. You're not worthy, but I am. And I can use who I am for you if you will come. And so Paul writes, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but I have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. How can you dismiss any of that? He's saying, without this foundation, you have nothing. It's fake. It's junk religion. It doesn't count. It cannot do what God wants it to do. And that's what matters. Verse 48, and he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Most beautiful words a sinner can hear from God. It is because sin is against God. It is against Christ the Son. To Him belongs the right, the power, the prerogative to forgive it. And He does. And He still does. Verse 49, and those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Now, we're not told that Simon joined in asking that question. That's left out because he probably got the message. He had a lot to think about that night. They were wrong because they failed to realize this is indeed God's prerogative. But what we understand, it is more than his prerogative to forgive sins. It is his delight. That is what the symbol of the cross is. What is the cross? What do you think the cross means? I died and that's it? It means I died for sinners. And I'm alive. And I love them. And this cross means I've paid for it. Your sin is gone. But I keep messing up and I keep forgiving. The one that I can't forgive is the one that is not sincere. The one that does not care. The one that doesn't believe it. The one thinks there's somewhere else to go. That's the one I can't forgive. But the one that comes to me, I will in no way cast out. No way. What part of no way do we not understand? Satan comes along and he tries to undo all of this that the New Testament is so keen on teaching us. Ephesians, well, let's take verse 58. And then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Shalom. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved by faith, and that not of your own. It is the gift of God. It is a gift. You cannot buy it. You cannot earn it. This particular gift you cannot re-gift as you would do somebody else's, a physical gift, but you can re-gift it in this sense. You can show that mercy to others and retain the gift yourself. And so it would be a mistake to suppose that there was no prior meeting between the Lord and her. Oh, she had her moment with him, and that was a done deal. And everything we've been reading about is based on that. Now, you who serve the Lord, you know everything you serve the Lord for is because you've had your moment with him, that initial moment. You've met him. You know who he is. If you've not met him and you're serving, you need to stop serving and meet him and then come back and serve. And so it was not her love or her deeds of kindness to Jesus. It was her faith. And those deeds of love, they flowed from her faith. And so he says, Shalom. Now, where does the New Testament pick this up? All over the place. Listen, the New Testament is such a superior article to the Old Testament. Really, it has no batteries, no power to it until it plugs into the New Testament. Then it comes to life. And if you've ever met people who say they're Christians and they live on that Old Testament plane, they're people you don't want to be around because they're going to judge you. They're going to judge you, your shoes, your family, the food you eat, the way your hair is or is not. They're going to judge you. They don't understand. I'm not saying they're doomed. I'm saying the value of the New Testament is something we must never lose sight of. And this is what Simon did. He did not understand God. We do. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's in the Old Testament. It is in the Psalms. But it gets lost by all the ritual and rules and religion that's in there. Not God's fault, man's fault. John the Baptist did not have the Old Testament, but he understood. But his understanding only went so far. And what did he need? To crown it, he needed the Lord to say, go and tell John the things you have seen and heard. And nothing's changed. For us, we still need to hear the Lord speak, and we do in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 8. Now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. Now, here, his ministry is expanding beyond just Capernaum. Even Galilee is expanding his ministry. He said in John's Gospel, chapter 9, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, the night is coming when no one can work. And that's true for us. As long as we have life in us, we must be about our Father's business. Now here he says also in verse 1, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. We just did that in that last paragraph of chapter 7. This is why chapter 8, this first paragraph, belongs with it. Because that was preaching. At least it was an attempt on my side to preach the gospel as it is given to us. And so some take the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven as being two different things, and they split it off. Some great men of God, great Bible teachers, begin to say, well, the kingdom of heaven means this, but the kingdom of God means that. I think that they're pretty much synonymous. You can split them down to some benefit, but at some point, for instance, they'll say the kingdom of heaven has to do with more of this life and this world, living for God, and the kingdom of God includes that but goes beyond that. Well, that's fine. I'm not going to take the time on it because I want to concentrate on preaching from this verse where he says, preaching and bringing glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Titus 1:3, God, he says, has in due time manifested his word through preaching. Unfortunately, there are Christians that think preaching gets in the way. We are just going to sing ourselves into glory. The church is going to just do programs into reaching people. It's preaching the word. That is first. What did he say to Timothy? Preach the word. In season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Why does he have to convince and rebuke? Because there will be Christians coming and saying, I don't want to hear this. I don't like that. I think you're wrong. And they don't know anything what they're talking about. Quite often. They're going by their feelings. We preach the word. He says the 12 were with him. Judas Iscariot's in this number. Judas Iscariot had heard the preaching, had seen the miracles, had observed all these things, and still he'll be a traitor. Verse 2. Because he wanted to. Let me pause there. We don't know who those are, but they do. If a person is not right with God, it is because they don't want to be. I don't mean perfect. I don't mean sinless. We just covered that in the last chapter about the forgiveness of God. I mean as to who he is. If you do not accept who he is, it is your fault, not his. And your eternal doom will be your fault and not his. And that has to be clearly stated. You have nothing to do with your first birth except show up, and even that wasn't on your end. It's the second birth. You have everything to do with that. It's an invitation. You either receive it or you don't, but it's your choice. And so, verse 2, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons. And now we have gratitude, genuine gratitude. Mary Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons. We don't know that this was what these demons were about in her. Were they demons of immorality? They didn't have to be. You don't have to be immoral to have this demonic influence in your life. She could have been into pagan religion. She could have just been a mean, vicious kind of person. We're not told. She could have been self-destructive. We're not told. But we are told she had a serious problem. It was a time in her life when she would tell you, and so would anyone who knew her, she's a mess. You know anybody like that? I do. You say, then that person is just a mess. And perhaps those who knew her and her family would say, poor thing, look at her. This is before Jesus touched her. Once he came into her life, she was a poor thing no more. Here, this poor thing is taking of her riches and supporting Jesus Christ, not single-handedly. But God took note of this and preserved the record. And Jesus rescued her life in a dramatic way. And so she spent the rest of her life showing her gratitude. She was the first human being to see the risen Christ. That makes sense. It was a woman who was the first one to see a sinner. She was the first human being to announce the resurrection. How appropriate. Verse 3, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. Now, Joanna, her husband, Cusa, that's a manly name. He was a man of influence. He was in politics. He had wealth. And his wife was with the Lord. And it certainly, he got the gospel. What he did with it, we're not told. So in addition to supporting Christ's ministry, Mary and Joanna here in verse 3, she also got to see the empty tomb. Luke 24, verse 10, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And what did the apostles say? Women. That's what they did. They didn't believe it. What a wonderful way to be wrong. And Susanna. Now, don't you cry for me. The name means lily. And I just love the teaching from Song of Songs, like a lily amongst thorns, because that's our life in Christ. Like a lily among thorns. Life is just filled with hardship and difficulties, and we're supposed to be this blossom of the Lord. In the midst of these things, not outside of them. And when we lose sight of that, we get angry with God for why do you allow suffering? Why do you allow death? Why do you allow, because we've forgotten we're a lily amongst thorns. But when we're in touch with this, then okay, what can I do? How can I get more lilies among in this thorn patch? So of her, Susanna, is no other record. This being enough to immortalize her. I mean, there she is forever in the scripture. Now, women then, even now, are largely the managers of the home budget. They are entrusted with funds to make it happen. And this is the story of the virtuous wife. We'll take three verses from Proverbs 31. We'll take verses 11, 16, and 20. I'll just read them together. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. See, she's out doing business with the money that belongs to both husband and wife. She considers a field and buys it, and from her profits she plants a vineyard. So she has buying power. The point I'm leading up to making is that the women would take from their budget, that was their husband's too, and they would tithe. I'm not saying this is a pattern for us. I'm helping us to understand how things were in these days. Not always the case, but it was largely the case, especially in a virtuous wife. Proverbs 31, verse 20. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. And so here she's the women are reaching out their hands in the giving to the work of the Lord. Because this allowed him full-time ministry, but he had 12 men with him, too, that had to be supported. He was still what we would call financially poor. When it was time for him to pay taxes, he had to go get it from a fish. I mean, that's poor. Fish has got more money than you. And I mean, I've got a fish at home. He's no money, but he's in over his head. Thing is soaking wet. But anyway, many others who provided for him from their substance. And so, again, this explains how they were allowed to do the work. And you have people today, Christians, I'm not giving any money to the church. It's like, you're just dumb. I mean, you're just totally in opposition to the scripture because you've had a bad experience or you're full of pride. Either way, that's not the biblical example. And anyway, there were others. These would be men and women who would contribute to the ministry. Here it is, God of creation allowing human beings to contribute to his work. He doesn't need any of us, but he allows us, he invites us. Now to us, serving mere human beings is different from serving God. Maybe not, we wouldn't write that down. We wouldn't write, I will serve you, Lord, I just won't serve any people. We wouldn't write it or speak it, but do we do it? To God, they're the same thing. Whatever you do for another human being as a Christian, you're doing it to the Lord. Matthew 25:40, and we'll close with this verse. The king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. How much more when we show it even to our enemies, appropriate grace. I don't mean the kind of grace that supports their sin. I mean the kind of grace that comes from heaven.
This has been another edition of Cross Reference Radio with Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel in Mechanicsville, Virginia. Pastor Rick will continue taking us verse by verse through the Gospel of Luke the next time you join us. Now, we want to be sure to tell you how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Simply log on to www.crossreferenceradio.com. That's crossreferenceradio.com. Our website has today's message available for you to download. Place a marker in your Bibles and join us next time as Pastor Rick will continue this insightful study through Luke's Gospel. That's next time on Cross Reference Radio.